Holy Ghost. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the text from Luke chapter 11, verse 8. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give to him whatever he needs. Another translation. I say to you, even if rising up he will not give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his shameless insisting, rising up, he will give him as many as he needs. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So there I was, really not that long ago, only about a decade ago, having had so much experience and training in the holy faith, and yet struggling. I went in to see my pastor with a heavy heart, and I knew that day what I needed to confess. I had been and I was neglecting my life of prayer. What a sad state of affairs, a pastor, a man of faith, a man of prayer, coming to confess that he was not praying as he should. My pastor and I went into the sanctuary, as was our typical practice. I kneeled and he knelt beside me, loving me. I confessed my sin to God in his presence. But behind my confession was, unfortunately that day, also an excuse. I was confessing that I wasn't feeling it in my heart. I didn't have that fervor that I knew I should have. I was lacking enthusiasm. Such a state, of course, is certainly worthy of confession. We ought to confess that. But it's also not an excuse for not praying. My pastor heard my confession, and he was faithful that day in pouring out the gospel to forgive my sin. But he was also good about reminding me to teach me. Brother Al, it's one thing to confess a complacent heart, but let us not use that as an excuse. We pray not because we feel like it, but we pray because God commands it. Come rain or shine, come feeling great or feeling low. Keep the word of God before you, brother. Pray because God calls you to pray. Don't permit your life of prayer to depend on your mood or your feeling. Pray, because God commands it. The words of a very wise and faithful pastor. This pastor knew the proper use of God's law. Yes, God commands, and we are convicted. That's what the law does. It shows our sin. But God's law is also given to us to teach us, we who have been forgiven, who are called to walk according to the faith. It guides us. And because we still have sin hanging around our necks, we need that guidance. It's embarrassing to admit it. But even though prayer is such a basic thing in the faith, I mean, totally Christianity 101, right? Everybody knows that Christians are to pray. We struggle with it. Why? For many reasons. One of those reasons, and let's just face it, is because we're lazy. The disciples couldn't keep their eyes open when our Lord was praying on the night he was going to be betrayed. The diagnosis was clear when he came back and he found them sleeping over and over again. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can have the best of intentions, but our flesh is so weak that we actually fight against praying, even as we call ourselves Christians. There's a part of us that doesn't want to pray. Sometimes we express this as skeptics deep down inside. Why bother? God already knows what's going to happen. God, he hears other excuses. Sometimes we don't pray because of resentment. When I prayed for such and such once upon a time, God didn't come through. So why should I pray now? Still in other situations, we convince ourselves that we're unworthy. My faith is so weak. Why bother? God's not going to listen to me. These are all of our sad and immature excuses, brothers and sisters. We convince ourselves that these are compelling reasons not to pray, but we are only deceiving ourselves. We think these are good excuses, but we're only hurting ourselves. For the record, let's offer a quick apologetic to some of these common excuses. Why bother? God already knows. Answer: this is a colossal blunder that makes a false assumption, namely that God needs our prayers. Of course he doesn't. We need to pray. This is for our benefit. Of course God already knows. But prayer exercises faith. Faith clings to God so that no matter what he wills for us, we will be faithful until the end. Excuse number two: but God didn't answer my prayer before. Answer: who says he didn't? The truth, which we conveniently forget, is that while God always answers the prayer of his faithful people, that so often he does not answer in the way that we want him to answer. But you don't understand, Pastor. Things could not have turned out any worse than they did. How can anyone say that that was for good? But we don't know this. We can't know this. The fault is not God's. The fault is that we refuse his answer because we secretly believe that we know better than he does. We forget, for example, what happens when a child of God dies. We assume that that's the worst thing that can happen to a child of God on earth. We forget the glory that is given to the child of God. I remember hearing the story of a little child who was killed when their parent backed out of their driveway. A terrible, terrible thing, tragedy. But in consulting with a young sibling who saw it and witnessed it, later told the parents, "I saw angels carry her away." Death is not the worst thing that can happen to a child of God. Why do we so often act like it is? Why do we hold this against God in the first place when it is our sin that has brought death? And yet we hold on to our excuses not to pray. Number three, my faith is too weak. Answer: but prayer does not rest on the strength or the size or the power of your faith. Prayer is effective on account of the one to whom faith clings to. That is Jesus. Even if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, yet because you hold to Jesus, your prayer is as good as any other saint. When you have Christ, and you do, then your prayer is as powerful as St. Paul's or St. Peter's. If you have faith in Christ, and you do, then prayer is efficacious. Not your level of sincerity that makes it so, not the right combination of words, nor how many tears you shed. Jesus is key. And if you have him, and you do baptize child of God like Molly does, then your prayer is answered, and always for good. But at the end of the day, even when we resolve to pray more fervently, we easily approach prayer in the wrong way. We pray tentatively. We pray like we're tiptoeing around God. We pray shyly and bashfully and hesitantly. We can speak to a person very boldly, but in the presence of God, we oftentimes mumble and we're not sure about how confident to be. We're missing something. You've heard the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. We are being invited here in our gospel in Luke chapter 11 to be squeaky wheels. Practice sanctified boldness, holy insistence, and with an attitude that says, I'm not going to let anything hold me back as I come before my Heavenly Father. This gospel does not mean that we should be irreverent or disrespectful towards God. Of course not. But we should care less about our doubts and hesitations. We should throw those to the wind. This gospel account uses a word that is not otherwise found in the New Testament. That word is impudence or shamelessness. This kind of prayer, the prayer of the friend coming at midnight, is shameless. It doesn't worry about inconveniences. It's laser-like and focused. I have a great need. I know who to ask. So I will ask boldly without backing down, and I know he will answer. This is the prayer of someone without hesitation and without doubt. It's a description of Jacob who wrestled with God in Genesis 32 and would not let God go until God blessed him. I'm not letting you go until you bless me, he said. That's a prayer that is warrior-like and confident. But from where does such persistence and boldness and shamelessness in prayer come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit working through the Word against our sin, against our silly excuses. We easily forget that God knows exactly how desperate we really are. So he gives us the basis for shameless prayer from our confessions. Mankind is in such a situation that no one can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, even though he has begun to believe. Besides, the devil, along with the world and our flesh, resists our efforts with all his power. Consequently, nothing is so necessary as to call upon God incessantly and drum into his ears our prayer that he may give, preserve, and increase us in faith and obedience to the Ten Commandments and remove all that stands in our way and hinders us from fulfilling them. That we may know what and how to pray, our Lord Jesus himself has taught us both the way and the words. I love this quotation. Did you hear that part about drum into the ears? Here it is again. Consequently, nothing is as necessary to call upon God incessantly and drum into his ears our prayer that he may give, preserve, and increase us in faith and obedience to the Ten Commandments. So we learn a mature view about faith. Let's make the most of this resource, brothers and sisters in Christ. We do it because God commands us. Who cares about how we feel at a given time? When mom and dad are taking care of Molly and they're tired in the middle of the night, they're going to get up and do whatever they need to do as good parents, period. We do it because God has attached glorious promises to it. He's going to bless us no matter what. We do it because God himself, as we have here in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11, the very words of prayer, we know how to pray. We do it on account of our great need, which great need, by the way, means that we may also pray from our hearts. We must feel our need, the distress that impels and drives us to cry out. Then prayer will come spontaneously as it should. And we shall not need to be taught how to prepare for it or how to generate devotion. This we must know, that all of our safety and protection consists in prayer alone. We are far too weak to cope with the devil and all his might and his forces that are arrayed against us, trying to trample us underfoot. Therefore, we must carefully select the weapons with which Christians ought to arm themselves in order to stand against the devil. But by prayer alone, we shall be a match for our enemies and for the devil, from the Lutheran Confessions. With such an understanding about prayer, we are equipped to pray like the guy in the parable. Interestingly, right before Jesus told this parable, the disciple who came to him actually depicts what we're talking about today. He was shameless in coming to Jesus. He's a man, only a man, a sinner. Yet he comes to the Son of God, the Almighty Lord, and he says, worded as a command. Talk about being confident. Lord, I command you, teach us to pray. In this spirit, Jesus tells about the guy in the parable. The story does not take place necessarily at midnight, a common translation, but perhaps more closely, in the dead of the night. The friend he visits is fast asleep in bed. Talk about being bold. The cultural context is not explained in the text, but what should be understood is that any person in that community knew they had an obligation to help the stranger who came in working with the rest of the community, representing the whole community. So, it would have been shameful to turn him away. He was practically obligated. But so is the Lord. He has promised us grace. He has promised you mercy in His Son. He has committed to being your God of love. He has obligated Himself to you. God has, in effect, as far as you're concerned, painted Himself into a corner of grace and mercy for you. When I was a teenager, my dad's philosophy was that during the school year, we could not have a part-time job because school was our job. That's just the way it was. So I didn't have any money. But I was dependent on what my dad gave me. But there were times, even as a teenager, that I knew that I could drum into his ears my request. Big, strong, former Marine who was really soft inside. I could drum away. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, he would grant me my requests. And when he didn't, it was for a good reason, at least in his sincere way of thinking. I always knew that. Our Lord makes a similar point. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Meaningful comparisons, by the way, because at that time and culture and place, some fish could appear as a snake, and the coiled white scorpion from a distance could appear as an egg. But the point of the comparison is really this. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus just gets to the greatest possible gift, the Holy Spirit. God's gift for a living faith. God's gift to us given in our baptism into Jesus so that we may know, among other things, the real scoop about prayer. That our Heavenly Father really does have our best interests in mind, even when we don't understand what is permitted to happen. But He does, because He is omnipotently kind. He is utterly trustworthy, and He will never break His promises to bless you, no matter what. And even more, we know we can be bold, because Jesus has already been bold for you. He prayed for you. He went to the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He gave His life for you. He paid the debt of your sin. He removed your curse. He conquered your death. So yes, we may pray boldly to Jesus, shamelessly, as if all of our sins were gone. And as far as He is concerned, they are. So equipped with the Holy Spirit who even prays for you, Romans 8, resting on God's mercy and kindness, knowing His complete trustworthiness, trusting in why this is all guaranteed on account of Jesus, pray away. Be warrior-like. Be like Jacob. Grab hold of your Heavenly Father. Come even in the dead of night. Don't worry. He'll be awake. He is always ready to receive your prayer. Pray with persistence. Ask. Do not stop asking. Seek. Do not stop seeking. Knock. Don't ever let up. Because Jesus has opened the kingdom of God for you. We know He did. Because one day He prayed. He prayed from the cross. And He prayed with boldness and confidence. Father, forgive them. The prayer was answered. So pray. Pray with boldness. Pray with persistence. Pray. It's not for wimps, but for warriors who have been forgiven. For those who know the greatest shamelessness. The Lord will hear. The Lord will answer. And the Lord shall bless me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen.